Want to hear some great golf storytellers? Check out Invested in the Game, an original podcast from Charles Schwab. Each episode dives into the stories of people who have poured their time, resources, and passion into the world of golf, like Sam Hahn, CEO of Lab Golf, PGA Tour player Ben Griffin, and Nick Schreiber, the visionary behind Old Barnwell Golf Club. So why is Schwab doing a golf podcast? Because their clients don't just invest in markets, they invest in their passions too. Listen at charlesschwab.com/the game or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
We'll get to Browns practice here in just a little bit, but I want to take you guys out to a quick visit to La Trobe over at Pittsburgh Steelers training camp yesterday. We just got done talking about one of the members of the 99 Madden Club in Myles Garrett. His name was said by Steeler fans yesterday, and it was not used kindly. This is Steeler fans and TJ Watt on the Pat McAfee Show yesterday, courtesy of ESPN.
Cam Miles Garrett!
Baby Cam.
Anybody yeah. Right now? And that's what training camp is. All here with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Right.
I believe that's a carryover from the previous chant right there. TJ, any facial expression that you make right now will be judged by everybody in Cleveland and across the NFL.
Best fans of the world, man. I'm glad we got the deal done so I could be here in front of everybody, man.
Just letting all out there in La Trobe.
Didn't most of you guys want him traded?
Just despicable.
Didn't most of you Steelers fans want him traded? Didn't most of those guys doing that chant want him traded?
So that this is the hard part about arguing the TJ Watt stuff. As a Browns fan, is both fan bases at some point had to break rank with their star player, star defensive player, based on their contract situation. And in Myles Garrett's case, not really the contract situation, but him asking to be traded too. So it's like we are looking at each other, staring at each other with the same issues, except that our guy's better now.
Well, which at least, I think everybody well, agrees. Yeah, but at least our guy came out and said it. He was just posting weird right. stuff on Instagram. You're going to say it with your chest, TJ Watt.
Going from Steelers practice.
Rabbit ears, TJ Watt.
From Steelers practice to Browns practice yesterday, which, you know, we've kind of had this conversation the last couple of days with players having injuries like MJ Emerson or players having to go off the field yesterday like DeJuan Jones, how the Browns should be handling practice going from what Peter Lynn said yesterday, the camp cupcake, to a potential harder practice. And this is Greg Newsome yesterday saying that, hey, practice as of now for 2025, it's been pretty good.
We're doing everything with a purpose. Everything we do, every meeting, every walkthrough, every practice, we're coming out there with a purpose, and that's to be great. You know, we're flying around the ball. We're going out there. We're not making the same mistakes twice. I feel like the leadership, the energy is there from day one.
I mean, even for a guy who said yesterday he wants to be a Brown for life, he's giving the coaches compliments right now.
Well, wouldn't you?
I hear a version of this every year.
Wouldn't you?
At training camp.
Wait a minute. Hold on. What do you want him to say at training camp?
I'm not wanting him to say anything. I'm just saying that that's. It seems like the Browns are at least having a good time at practice at this moment, even though the style has changed from the previous years.
What is the change of styles?
I just said we had Peterlin on the other day saying Camp Cupcake the last couple of years over the Greenbrier.
Well, it was the last year they called it Camp Cupcake. The year before it was hard ass practice.
What do you think, Mitch? What do you think of the level of physicality at training camp so far this year compared to other years?
From what I've seen outside of camp right now, it looks like they're more focused. Looks like they're trying to at least get themselves more prepared for this season than they were for last.
Mitch Spinell thinks the team is more focused this year based on what he's seen and observed.
I want it to be even harder.
At Browns training camp.
I want Kevin Stefanski walking through going, this is my rifle, this is my gun.
I was going to say, like, do you think he's capable of a sort of a personality like that? I mean, we've seen him, you guys have seen him in, like, Browns practice compared to what he is in public, but do you think he's, like, capable of that sort of personality?
I think Kevin would be very good. We've never said anything really unfair, patently just totally unfair of Kevin. Professionally, maybe here and there,
Kenny,
where he would definitely be able to
never say anything unfair.
But if I like
on the radio,
if I like made it really personal out of nowhere or something, I think Kevin would be very good at dressing me down, but not in a loud way.
Anthony, don't you like to say things that are both fair and balanced?
And balanced, and with a distinction. Balanced, all capital letters.
Nice.
That's how much I believe in it.
That's great.
What's up next, Mitch?
Going from that to the diamond yesterday, the Guardians victorious over the Rockies 5-0 to take the series 2 out of three, a much better mindset than where we were at the end of Monday night. And Stephen Vogt even talked about how this stretch of the Guardians has been pretty good coming out of the All-Star break.
This has been quite the 13-game stretch coming out of the break. Travel for 3 days, you play a hot doubleheader. You know, we have a tough day on Monday as a team. But this is, like we've said, this group's resilient. They more than earned this off day, and I'm really excited to see them again on Friday.
So that's 14 out of 20 right now. The question is here with the deadline looming at 6 p.m. We'll have updates for you if there are any throughout the morning. Does this stretch convince Chris Antonetti and the Guardians management enough to be like, hey, we can make something out of it here. You're only 2.5 back of the wild card. We can maintain our veterans to try and make a push. And if not, we can try to maintain this into 2026.
You always wonder how hard it is. The team is definitely hearing the rumors.
If you love golf or just great storytelling, you've got to check out Invested in the Game, a new original podcast from Charles Schwab. Each episode highlights remarkable people who have dedicated their time, energy, and heart to the sport. You'll hear from voices like Sam Hahn, CEO of Lab Golf, PGA Tour player Ben Griffin, and Nick Schreiber, the visionary behind Old Barnwell Golf Club. Now, you might be wondering, why is Schwab doing a golf podcast? Well, you might already know Schwab from their five other podcasts covering investing and the markets. Quick plug, you can find those at schwab.com/podcasts. But this one's different. Invested in the Game goes beyond finance into something many of Schwab's clients are deeply passionate about. Golf. Schwab has supported the game for decades through events, promotions, and sponsorships at both the pro and collegiate level. This podcast is their way of sharing the incredible stories behind the game. Listen now at schwab.com/the game or wherever you get your podcasts.
They're not stupid. They don't live in a vacuum. They've got a lot of free time on their hands once they get to the clubhouse. They have their phones. They're getting texts. They certainly understand when the reality is what it is, which is they're a 500 baseball team. They've had one decent stretch of baseball, which has been, what, 2.5, 3 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Now they're coming off a series win, but they're still 9 games back of the scuffling Detroit Tigers. And they've got so many teams ahead of them en route to the wild card. And they also know the situation in town, which is, you know, they're not typically going to be big-time buyers. They've only been that way a few times. You know, even in this last successful run of the decade, they've only been buyers a few times. So I do wonder, do they rally behind that? What is the psyche of those players in that clubhouse?
I said it earlier in the show. I think if they, everything they accomplish from here on out is in spite of ownership in the front office. Maybe just the ownership. I don't know. Maybe the front office really does not want to trade Stephen Kwan by any means necessary or whatever. I mean, according to Mark Feinstein, they're working to trade these guys. So it could be a very ugly afternoon here for a lot of Guardians fans. And when you're 2.5 games out of the wild card spot, which we're supposed to, this whole professional sports is supposed to be about trying to win. Well, it's really about entertainment, putting on a good show. But really, for us fans, it's about trying to win. And when you openly are not really trying to do that, then yeah, you're winning in spite of them now. And that might be a call to arms for these guys. Might be a Rachel Phelps situation, Mitch.
Rachel Phelps.
One of the players that spoke yesterday after the game was David Fry. He was asked about, you know, having to deal with all the sort of situations involving Kwan. He was also asked this because he has been out all season in the field. He's been in the lineup this year. He was asked if he may be able to take part in the field this season.
We've had talks and we'll kind of see just how the year goes. But my focus is just rehab, making sure the arm feels good, get ready for my at-bats. And if a situation comes up, then stay ready for that.
Now, if the Guardians were to go after a catcher at the deadline here, then this point is moot. But would you want a guy like Fry trying to get some reps by the end of the year compared to what we've had at the catching position this
compared
season?
Compared to Bo Naylor?
And Austin Hedges?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You said so defiantly there.
I'd rather have the one-armed man from The Fugitive than Bo Naylor at times.
I don't think
I don't care.
The struggle isn't with Bo Naylor.
Is that a better option than Jim Abbott?
The struggle isn't with Bo Naylor.
I'd rather have Jim Abbott.
The struggle is with...
Oh, they're going to trade away Stephen Kwan. I don't care. Tommy Lee Jones, man.
Finally here, we had a quote from Sophie Cunningham yesterday in the WNBA. Now, she has been one of the bigger headliners of the WNBA this season behind Caitlin Clark. And she has a new podcast on Colin Cowherd's Volume Network and had a very poignant point about Caitlin Clark.
And it literally, like, pisses me off when people are like, she's not the face of the league.
Who would be?
What? Sabrina? No.
No, there's really good, well-known people in our league. I'm not discrediting them. Like, we have a lot of badasses in our league.
Yeah.
Like, but when people try to argue that she's not the face of our league,
yeah,
or if our league would be where we're at without her, you're dumb.
Yeah.
You're literally dumb.
I enjoy her because I think she's embracing a role of being a villain. And I say that as a person in Cleveland who is going to get a team and is excited about having a WNBA franchise again, and that she still ripped the area. And then tried to, like, kind of walk it back and made it even worse.
Call us Cincinnati.
Which then I thought, if she thought it was Cincinnati.
Right. She is definitely right
then
about
maybe Caleb she wasn't really ripping Cleveland at all. Mm. I don't know. I can tell you this, Kenny. I pulled up the shirt that has Caitlin Clark and Sophie Cunningham. I've already expressed to you that my wife has said some interesting things that have been eye-opening about this player in particular. She bought this shirt.
Your wife bought that shirt.
I don't know. Maybe you get to see her wear it one of these days. She is all in on Sophie Cunningham.
Is she going to wear it to the gala we're going to this weekend?
That's what I wondered. I wondered if she was going to do that. It is going to be...
Interesting choice by Sarah Ono.
She has sent me interesting texts regarding Sophie Cunningham that I'm not willing to share on the air.
Although I kind of want you to share them on the air.
You said that once on the air, the thing you shouldn't have said on the air, yeah, and you said it on the air.
Some people got frustrated. Yeah. They're like, what the hell? Yeah. And I'm like, I don't know. It seemed like a very positive thing to say about somebody.
I don't know if Byrne heard it and thought the same thing.
So, can you say stuff that would get yourself in trouble if you just blame it on your wife who doesn't listen to the show? And go, my wife texted me this.
But she did. I could show you the text. And so, listen, Caitlin Clark is the face of the league. Sophie Cunningham's not far behind.
My wife texted me this about the American Eagle ad.
What did she say?
No, I'm just saying.
Don't even bring that up.
Could you just blame it on your wife?
Yeah. It's a fun crutch. Why not?
That's it for about last night.
You don't listen to the show. Might as well blame her.
Want to hear some great golf storytellers? Check out Invested in the Game, an original podcast from Charles Schwab. Each episode dives into the stories of people who have poured their time, resources, and passion into the world of golf, like Sam Hahn, CEO of Lab Golf, PGA Tour player Ben Griffin, and Nick Schreiber, the visionary behind Old Barnwell Golf Club. So why is Schwab doing a golf podcast? Because their clients don't just invest in markets, they invest in their passions too. Listen at charlesschwab.com/the game or wherever you get your podcasts.